appreciate the opportunity to talk. There are a lot of heroes in this room for me. And it's always an honor to be able to speak. But I'm so thankful that I am here because of a lot of people who've helped mold my life. And I was sitting next to Brother Rucker there. And he said, "Do you know me?" And I said, "Well, I know your face, but I can't remember your name." And so he introduced himself to me again. And he said, "I was a big fan of your grandfather, and my grandfather's my hero. And he died when I was a senior at Faulkner University, but I always appreciate that. I tell you, it's special knowing that there is somebody out there in heaven, up there in heaven, or one day when we're all together, that I'm going to look up. I don't know their name. I don't know who they are. But I'm going to find them. I'm going to track them down because somewhere somebody loved my grandfather enough to talk to him about Jesus Christ or talk to his parents about Jesus Christ. And then my grandfather sought a Christian wife and they married and they taught my mom about Jesus Christ. And my mom taught us through my dad's help and such about Jesus Christ." And you know, when you think about what we're talking about and what Ricky said this morning, family is very important to me, just like it is to you, I know. And I appreciate what Bryant said about preachers. You know, it is not my goal to save everybody else and lose my family. You know, that's what I admire about David so much. David is, and Patrice have done such a great job. He's a hard worker in the church, but he has been a great father. And I have that firsthand because I've seen his children grow up. And what a great job they've done. There have been so many others. And, you know, when I pen the words of this book, I've got an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. You always set yourself up for failure if you don't, if something turns out to go awry. But the reality of it is, the reason I pen these words is because Satan is attacking the family. And I have talked to men like these and asked them, "What do you do? How do you make it right?" Of course, looking at it from a biblical point of view. But what you come down to when it's all said and done, and the reason that we have challenges is because Satan is good at what he does, unfortunately. You know, Jeremy talked about how Satan, he can portray sin and such. And so false doctrine appears to be good. Well, lies from Satan appear to be good. And the family's under attack. And we've talked about this a lot already, and I'm going to talk about priorities and modern stuff and such, but it all comes down to something that Christ said a long time ago and was echoed by the apostles through the Spirit, that we need to build our homes on the rock. Jesus Christ is our foundation. He is the one that we must build upon. In Psalm 127, verse 1, we have this very powerful statement. "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." And friends, I think that's where it's got to go. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who builds it. Like never before in the history of America, we could say the history of the world, but especially in the history of America, our families are under attack. Like never before. Now again, the family's always been under attack. Adam and Eve were under attack. Now it's just so easily accessible. There's so much that we can get our hands on. You know, I tell the kids all the time, or I've told teenagers, I worked as a youth minister for 14 years, and I tell those kids, I taught school at Mobile Christian for 10 years, I tell them, I'm so thankful to God that the internet was just coming up when I was getting out of my teenage years, because I don't know where I'd have been. It's scary to think about what is facing our families today, the challenges that are out there. See, I believe the primary role of the family is still parenting. It's still raising children. That's what God has blessed us with. They're a heritage from the Lord. And it's our duty to raise them, or the word we've used for years, rear them the right way. The great institution of marriage that God designed. And you know, that goes such a long way. And let us never get tired of saying that. God designed marriage. He performed the very first wedding ceremony in paradise. And the institution that he designed is the basic unit of society and the church. The family, it goes without saying, is of critical importance. Families often fear. I mean, if you were to ask people, what do you fear today? If you were to survey even the church, do you know what they say? I fear ISIS. I fear terrorism. Rightfully so. I understand that. I understand that we're in that concern. Some might say, well, I fear crime. You know, you think about crime and you think about what we do now. It's not like in the good old days when I'd go visit my grandfather in Bexley, Mississippi. You go to Loosedale and you might miss Bexley if you keep going west there. But the point of it is they lived there and everybody waved. Everybody was on the front porch. Nobody locked their doors. We don't live in that time anymore. Now we've got alarms. We've got deadbolts. We've got shotguns and rifles and all the other to keep out the enemy, but sometimes the worst enemy is who's on the inside. We've allowed ourselves to slip, to fall. This is an important, honest question. We just talked about it starts with me. We have got to look at this openly and honestly. If we're not going to be honest with ourselves, then I don't know how we can help each other. But the honest question is how is your family this morning? Now granted, I know in saying that, I'm talking to those whose children are raised. Who now maybe you have grandchildren or even great-grandchildren. But there are still those who are raising children. There are those who are influencing others. And so I need us to ask ourselves today, how are our families doing? Are our families strong, vibrant, standing in good relationships with love? Or are our families filled with anger, yelling, crying, and desperation? You know, I guess if you've served as an elder or you're in the ministry, whether you minister to youth and families or you're ministering to the church as a whole, the saddest thing we do, in my opinion, is counsel. I think it's one of the important things that we do. And again, we're not licensed, we don't have the degrees, but when you talk to a family that is failing, that is heavy on the heart. But you know, I guess like all ministers, we've sit there and we've talked to them and we said, if you will do this, your family will turn around, and they never do this. And that's where the heartache comes from me. That's where the sleepless nights come from me, is we want to do all these things. And you know, sometimes we look at it as preachers and we might think we fail, but preachers, let me encourage you. Noah, in 100 years or however long it took him to build the ark, he got nobody from the community on the ark, but he got his family there. I don't think Noah was a failure as a preacher. I think he was a hero because he understood where the importance was. Do we have mixed up priorities in the family? If we have problems in the family, then the chances are very good we have mixed up priorities. Have we made the family selfish? We live in a me, myself, and I time. And that carries over in the family. By the way, people can be home. I write about this in the book. People can be home and not be home. There can be so much distance because we've gotten so wrapped up in job, or we've gotten so wrapped up in hobbies, or so wrapped up in Facebook and social media and all these other things that we're in the same room with each other and not even talking to each other. It's not too old-fashioned to put the devices down. It's not too old-fashioned to quit being selfish. Is our family more secular than it is spiritual? We need to ask ourselves that. And that question needs to be asked in the church. Let's not say that, oh, wow, when we come in this church, we've got all these great Christian people. No, we've got imperfect people who are trying to get to a perfect God. And in those imperfect people, there are real problems. And a lot of those problems start with the world. They start with self. They start with mixed up priorities. Our families today are under attack like never before, and it's time for us to reclaim the home. It's time for us to take it back. And you know, Bryant talked about being strong physically, but spiritually. But whatever it takes, we got to get some guts about us. We've got to get some fortitude about us. We got to get a backbone. And we as Christian men and husbands, we've got to stand up to the devil. And if we got to knock him in the nose, we got to knock him in the nose. We have got to fight the good fight as Paul fought that good fight. We have got to do what it takes to make sure that we are getting our families on the ark. 18 years is not very long. It's not very long to train a child. By the way, if we wait till 14, 15... I used to have parents come up to me. Their children were 16 years old. Hey, what are we going to do to get my kid going to Sunday school? And I'd almost tell them nothing. Why? For 16 years you've gone and you've not gotten them up and you've not gone. It's almost too late. Now again, there are exceptions to that. But we better start young. We better keep it and make sure it's a priority. You see, it's time to make a choice. It's time to build our homes on the rock. Let's talk about broken homes. Sad topic, isn't it? Why are families breaking? Why is the divorce rate at 50%? You see, the Bible talks about the Christian family and the Christian itself having three enemies, I should say, the Christian itself. The world is our enemy. We see that in the Scripture. Our old fleshly nature is also our enemy. But as Brother Marshall pointed out and has been echoed today, Satan himself is our number one enemy. Satan is out to destroy us, and he's out to destroy whatever God made that was good and perfect. And what he had made that is good and perfect that he's trying to get according to our spiritual enrichment that we're trying to fight against is the family. He's coming after it like never before. Ephesians 6 verse 12, Paul wrote, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Families failing or families falling apart is not new. This is not a new concept that happened in 2015 and 2016. We see Satan attacking the home and the family even in the Garden of Eden. We see Adam and Eve disobeying God, and then all of a sudden they raise a son, Cain, who feels so sorry for himself, he doesn't put blame on himself. He goes out and he murders his own brother, even after he was warned by God. Satan has not changed his strategy. From that moment to 2016, Satan has not changed his strategy. He is a liar from the beginning, and he is still a liar today. He's a liar. He's a deceiver who abides not in the truth. His goal has always been to divide us and conquer us. Divide us from God, keep us away, that way he can conquer us. And he's doing it through the families. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 14 reads like this, "For Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." He'll do anything to take us away from God. His ways are alluring, even appearing spiritual as an angel of light. You see, we must be walking in the truth of God's Word. We've talked about that today. Well, the foundation is there. It's not changed. It's been the same since before the forming of this world. God hasn't changed. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Hebrew writer said. And we need to understand that. So what do we need to do? We need to revisit what does work. We must be willing to walk in the truth. We as Christians need to be aware of the schemes of the devil. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." The sad news is, though, many today are shallow. They're surface Christians. We see people obey the gospel and we're excited about that, and rightfully so, but their faith never roots. They never dig deeper. They do not know God's Word. And they become ignorant of our adversary's devices. We become deceived. And we walk in pride, blind the truth. You know, when a family is living a facade, they look like they're this happy family. One time I preached a sermon and I talked about picture-perfect families. And I showed our church directory picture. I'm up there as the preacher. I hadn't been the preacher too long. I'm smiling. Bo's down here with a little smile. Madeline was just born. Michelle's got this big smile. We got Madeline this big smile. But what happened 5 minutes earlier than that was pure chaos. But it looks like this great happy family. Other than that, I'm telling Bo, you better smile in this picture. And Madeline's screaming and Michelle's like, oh no, what are we going to do? And all. But you don't see that in the picture. Sometimes pictures are facades. Sometimes we walk into the church and people are putting their big happy face on, but inside the home, there is misery. When we live that facade, we're trying to look good on the outside while the home is disintegrating on the inside. Families then become discouraged, defeated, and confused, not knowing what to do. Satan's bombs. He's bombing the family. The home's under attack. And what I want to do now is point out a few things that are more modern. Maybe these are phrases are not something you're used to, but when we break it down, you'll understand it simply. What are some things that he's using to bomb us? Number one, he's using a phrase by this title, humanistic enlightenment. Humanistic enlightenment. That humanistic enlightenment is saying that there is no God. That's what secular education's saying. You think about what's happening in the classroom and what's happening aside. Again, teachers are spending a lot more awake time with the children than the mamas and daddies are because we work so much now. And the reality is we're not re-emphasizing what we're teaching and we're expecting youth ministers to raise their children and the church to do it. And then all of a sudden we come up and we're like, hey, why do our children not believe? Why are they not faithful? Why are they not wanting to marry or date a Christian? What's going on here? Humanistic enlightenment is teaching us that humanism is a system of thought that centers on human beings and their value, capacities, and worth. And their capacity for truth and goodness is apart from God. We see this so-called enlightenment constantly in the teaching of evolution. Kate Millett. She was a key figure in the woman's movement that really took off. She penned a book, and it's entitled Sexual Politics. She says in that book, and listen to how sad this is, the family must go. She said, the family must go because it is the family that has oppressed and enslaved women. In the book, The Death of the Family, we find this phrase, the best thing society could do is to abolish the family altogether. You see, this humanistic thought is seen on TV, education institutions, and almost everywhere in society. Why are children not wanting to get married anymore? Well, let me try to help out as part of this, and I think something we could do as a church even better. You know, we celebrate 50 years, you know, and all these great anniversaries, and I think that's awesome. We should. Those are milestones. And by the way, they're going to get fewer and fewer, unfortunately. But isn't it a sad thing when somebody says, hey, we've been married 50 years, and they've been the 50 worst years of my life. You know, I've been married to this old bag for I don't know how. Why? Why are we doing that? You know, it's telling your grandchildren that, hey, why do I really want to be married 50 years? I used to have kids at Mobile Christian saying, I don't know if I could live with somebody for 50 years. This is what's being taught now. And I've been removed from school now for about 6 years. So how worse has it gotten? You know, the thing that we have to understand is we're saturated with TV and education institutions and all through society. It's in our pockets. It's in our devices. It's everywhere on the internet and surrounding us. We've got to be the example. As Jeremy said, we've got to be the influence that helps these children understand. That's why, if the divorce rate goes down, you know why? I'd love to tell you it's because we're doing a good job preaching it, but it's because people aren't getting married. Instead of getting married and getting divorced, they're just shacking up together, as the old term we used to call it. They're living together and they're not wanting to try out marriage. And it's just really sad. But that's humanistic enlightenment. Humanism at its best. But there's another one entitled A Moral Philosophy. That's another bomb Satan is dropping on us, and he's dropping on the family. This says that there's no accountability, no restraints or standards. In other words, I'm boss and I'll do what I please. You see, God's standard of one man and one woman for one lifetime is being redefined in society. Perverted lifestyles are redefining the home and marriage. Romans 1, verses 21 through 23, you're familiar with it. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. You know what idol worship says? I'm boss, and I'll do what I want to do. And that's what's happening in the home. I'm going to do it my way. Again, if you show us a family and we counsel with a family where the wife has been the head of the household, then we're going to say, then you've got family problems. If we counsel with a family that the husband has been married to the job and not married to the wife, then there's problems. You know, it was, I guess, Elvis Presley or Frank Sinatra, somebody that said, I did it my way. We better do it God's way. Because when we do it our way, we foul it up every single time. But that's what's happening. This immoral philosophy, these bombs that Satan's dropping on us, they're saying it's okay to be married to same sex. Can we be more saturated with that right now? They're saying it's okay to live together. It's okay to be in an open relationship. Let's have multiple partners. This immoral invasion has come into our homes. It's a philosophy that is poisoning our families today. But there's more, unfortunately. You see, there's the bomb of the media invasion. Television, internet, and social media. By the way, let me pause and say that those things in itself are not all bad. There are certain things that we can watch and on TV that are not bad. There's a lot of good on the internet. There's a lot of good in social media. But that's not the way the devil wants it to be dropped on us. These are bombs. Television portrays a world, oftentimes, of alternative lifestyles, where sin abounds as being cool. You know, that word went around, I guess, when we were younger, you know, being cool or whatever. But teenagers still want to be cool, whether they think cool is a cool word or not. They still want to be cool. And they still want to fit in. And so what is popular, by the way, if you are now on a certain social media site as a mama or a daddy or a grandparent, they have moved on. They're gone. You know why? Because you're not cool in their eyes. It's just not cool. Right now my kids think I'm cool still. You know, I'll get on the floor and play with them or whatever. But there's coming a day that they're not going to think I'm cool. They're not going to think that that's just the way it is. And we'll talk more about that maybe in a minute. But that's what TV's portraying, that this stuff is cool. It's popular. It's good. Drug use, alcohol use, sinful lifestyles, sexual immorality are all portrayed in a positive, fun, let's all do it kind of way. You know, you just think of the catchphrase. Talking about how alcohol is, you know, it doesn't get any better than this. Yeah, it does. You know, I serve on the Mobile Leadership Series at through Mobile Christian, and we did have Peyton Manning in a few years ago, and that was a big deal for us. But I was so disappointed to hear him after they won the Super Bowl. And again, I admire the guy, but the first thing he said was, I'm going to drink a lot of Budweiser tonight. You know, I mean, I'm thinking, oh, man, and that makes it cool. But it's because a quarterback who just won the Super Bowl, who also has stock in Anheuser-Busch. You see the problem. Television, the internet is busting at the seams promoting pornography. Let me tell you, we talk a lot about drugs and alcohol and things like that, but we're not talking enough about pornography. It is ruining teenagers. It's ruining marriages. And I know that some of this stuff in the generation that some of you come from will curl your toes. But I'm just telling you, if we don't talk about it in the church, you know where they're going to find it? They're going to find it on some nasty website. They're going to find it, and it's not just, oh, mom and daddy's got to watch what they're typing on a keyboard. Now, it's right here. They're carrying it in their pockets. It's everywhere around them. And once our brain sees something, the way He designed us is amazing. We have this photograph that takes a picture. And we can see that picture forever. And what happens is husbands are getting married to their wives and they're expecting them to perform sexually the way they see it on TV and on the internet and things like that. And it's really hurting marriages. It really is. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. Oftentimes, it's single-handedly destroying our families and homes. The divorce rate among evangelical Christians is very near that of the society's, 50%. Isn't that sad? These things are desensitizing the Christian to allow more and more garbage and clutter into their lives. I know it's 12 o'clock. Stay with me a few more minutes, please. There's one more bomb before we talk about it. I don't want to end negative, so we're going to get all this out of the way. There's one more bomb I wanted to talk about today, and that's the secular mindset. In other words, this is saying more things, more choices, more activities, and less time. It's so sad when the secular mindset of the world infiltrates our Christian homes. We sang it last night, God give us Christian homes. But the secular mindset's penetrating the home. I love the fact of the fortified families. And you know, it's so great to know that these walls, they fortified these cities and they were secure. But when somebody penetrated the walls, it all went downhill. Well, we've tried to fortify these families, but because of other things like secular mindsets, we're allowing it to penetrate in. The family's living in a giant ocean of information. We're drowning in choices, activities, and things. We never catch up. That's the way it is now. We never catch up. There's bigger, there's better, there's faster, there's greater, there's newer models, there's better features, and that all leads to the feeling of being overwhelmed, exhausted, defeated, and stressed out. The average worker alone commutes 157,600 miles in their lifetime. That's six times around the earth. Many would survey and say spending time with family and friends is their top priority. If we were to interview the church, you know what they say? Yes, spending time with my family is a top priority. But yet few families are seeming to achieve this worthy goal today. In fact, let me tell you something else that will hopefully wake us up. In homes with teenagers, the father spends less than 15 minutes per week in interaction with them. Mark Twain, speaking on raising children, once said, when they become teenagers, put them in a barrel. Feed them through the knot hole. When they turn 16, stop up the knot hole. James Dobson said, child rearing is like baking a cake. You don't realize you have a disaster until it's too late. Hopefully it's not too late. So we need to ask ourselves then, again, honestly, are any of those bombs being dropped on my family? Are we allowing it to destroy our family from the inside out? Now, we don't want to end negatively. So how can we end positively? Everybody likes home runs, right? If we're going to play baseball, everybody, the home run hitter gets paid a lot of money, or the pitcher that stops the home runs. So we want to hit a home run in the home. How can we do that? Well, there are a couple ways, and we're going to close with this. We're going to realize the problem. Number one, if we want to hit a home run in our home, we need to realize the problem. It hurts to be honest sometimes. It really does. The truth does hurt sometimes. It's been said if you're having problems and difficulty with your children, the parents normally blame the church. They blame the youth group. They blame their teacher or their school. Yet the problem usually lies with the parents. God ordained marriage and placed a priority upon the marriage of the mother and father to oversee their household. The responsibility doesn't lie with the youth and family minister. The responsibility doesn't lie with the preacher, the elders, the church, the deacons, whoever. The responsibility relies on mom and dad. If my children lose their soul, it's not Justin's fault. It's not the church's fault. It's my fault. As long as they're in my care. The very first step in reclaiming our family is to wake up and be alert. Romans 13, verse 11, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." We can't keep burying our heads in the sand. Sometimes I think, it's going to go away. I'm going to just pretend like I don't see it. You know, it's kind of like one way you can scare, I'm a 260-pound guy. And one way you can scare me is put me in a shooting house with a bunch of wasps. You know, after the summer, they've built nests in there. You ought to see me go crazy with about three or four wasps. Sometimes I just be like, okay, maybe if I'm still enough, they won't know I'm here. You know, or whatever. Sometimes that's how we are with problems. If I'm still enough, maybe they won't know I'm here. We got to get our heads out of the sand. We got to attack. We got to realize we're bigger. Well, we're not bigger, but God is bigger than any problem we'll face. So let's pull our heads out of the sand. We can't just play the blame game. We got to quit making excuses. This was said earlier. We can't be best friends all the time. I tell my children, I am your friend. I am. I'll do things with you. I'll hang out with you. But number one, I'm your dad. My daddy used to say it this way. He said, there will be days you don't like me. There'll be days I don't like you. That may be a little harsh, but I understand what he meant. There will be days when I got to do some things that you and I don't want to do. But I got a responsibility to you. We've got to wake up and realize the devil's real. He's really coming after the family, and we've got to be ready. But we also need to realize God provides. Knowing there's a problem is important, but then knowing God has an answer to the problem is even more vital. By the way, that's no matter how serious it is. We need to realize God's got an answer. Sometimes we spend a lifetime trying to do things our way, only ending up failing miserably. Again, we'll go back to Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the home, they labor in vain who build it. Now note in this, and this is real, this was neat to me, at least in my studies. The word build there, the Hebrew word is bana. It's the same word that we get these words from. Three Hebrew words come from this root word. The word ben. For instance, Ben-Hadad. Okay? That ben there comes from bana, and that's translated son. The word bath, as in Bathsheba, comes from bana, and it's translated daughter. And then the word Beth, like Bethsaida, is translated house. So from the word build, we get the son, build the daughter, build the house. Unless the Lord builds the home, everything we do will be in vain. Unless the Lord builds the home, we will experience turmoil, anguish, and despair. Unless the Lord builds the home, our best intentions and plans will fail. Unless the Lord builds our home, we will not know that our God, in His instruction manual, provides the solution to every problem we can encounter. Again, I'm done, Eric, if you need to turn that off. I've written this book. It's entitled 21 Habits of Highly Functioning Families. My mom and my wife may be the only ones who really buy a copy. I don't know. But I'm not an author. I just had it hit me one day, and I chose 21 because the specialist will say that if you do something 21 times, it becomes a habit. And of course, it comes with the idea of 7 habits of highly effective people, and then teenagers that came later and such. But the reality of it is this. I've had advice from a lot of people. You know, you heard Ricky say this morning, and I asked him, Coach, how did you do it one day? He said, well, I made God the God of our vacations, the God of our hunting trips, the God of our fishing trips, the God of our ball games, and we never took time off from God. And things like that has really spoke to my heart, if you will. But the main thing I want out of the book is for it to change one family. Because I think it's reality, and I think it's hit me more now than ever of how attacking the devil is on the family. But we can change it. We really can. More importantly, we know the one who can change it.